Hey everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Sestrino, back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of December 15th, 2020, only on News AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, that's right. News AF. We are back again here on a Tuesday to talk with our actual, factual news team. Here is a man who is Pickleball's top influencer, and looks like that it might be a little chilly where he is. Please welcome in Tyson DePasta. Tyson, how are you?
I'm great. It is chilly here. I had to go outside twice today already. Wow. And it got almost to freezing last night. It was 34 degrees. I had to bring the tortoises inside. And
34 degrees?
Overnight, yeah. It'll get up to like 60 today, but the low was 34. And we are looking at some freezing temperatures maybe later in the week, which is crazy. It's been a very, very cold fall, winter here. So I like it. It's nice to be chilly sometimes and to break out these dope sweaters, hat, all of it. But, you know, I'm sure it's not even close to as cold as what Danny is dealing with. And maybe, Rob, even you. Are you? How cold is it there, Rob?
I mean, it's not in the 30s. It's probably like maybe like 55, 60 outside.
Right now?
Yeah.
And what's the high going to be?
I don't know. I mean, hold on.
Okay.
Hey, Siri, what's the temperature outside?
It's 59 degrees.
Oh, nailed it.
Ooh, yeah. That is nice, actually. Okay, so it's beautiful outside right there.
That's fine.
And I'm sure Danny's is freezing. I don't know why and how he's going.
25
degrees out at Danny's house.
I already went for a run outside.
See, mine's 45 now. Danny,
be careful. Yes. You could slip on the ice, Danny.
Right. Guys, it's invigorating. Mm-hmm. I'm like, nipples are rock hard. I'm like, my face is like,
they bleed.
All red and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm ready to take on the world now.
Yeah, they do bleed. He puts band-aids over them so they don't chafe on his shirt.
Yeah.
No way, dude. Over this like years of running, they're
oh,
like
dude,
a callous. Catcher's mitt. They're just like pure leather. Amazing.
All right.
It is true.
Yeah. Danny, how are you doing?
Doing great. Other than the cold.
Yeah.
I don't mind cold if snow is with the cold. You know, like I could take cold and snow together. Cold by itself is just pointless. Unless I'm storing my milk outside.
Although I do like cold by itself.
No, but it seems like I think that's what people used to do, like put their milk near the cracked door, you know, keep it chilled. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing in olden days.
I don't know.
Yeah. Tyson could do that with his hot soup during the summer.
Yeah, I just leave it by the door and it gets to boiling.
It boils. It just, it's a simmer, not really a boil. It just simmers there on the asphalt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I never tried cooking an egg on the asphalt this year.
Oh, what a shame.
Do you normally try it?
No, I've never tried it, but I've seen, but I don't know if it really works.
I would do it on the hood of your car before I would do it on the asphalt.
Of the hood of my car?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know,
okay.
Spray some like olive oil on there right before then. And then I think you could do it.
Oh yeah. Some pepper, some cayenne.
Yeah. But do you think that Lamborghini will then repaint that? Or
is that covered fine? Under your Lambo's warranty?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
The new YouTube channel where I cook eggs on the hoods of super expensive cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
dude, that's genius. That's my new TikTok. I'm going to hunt for cars in parking lots and cook eggs on them while the owner comes out and is like, what are you doing to my car? It's like, what are you doing to my egg?
How about bacon? Can you get bacon on there too?
I could get some bacon. Yeah, bacon. Oh, get dude, you got to get the bacon first, then cook the eggs in the bacon grease. Delicious. Oh. Have you ever tried that, Rob?
Just like Scout Camp.
No, I've tried that. But I wonder then, like the bacon grease, I kind of feel like that if you have like a towel, you could just like wipe that down. I feel like the car will look good as new.
Dude, I just polished it up for him.
That could be nice.
Bacon grease shine.
Yeah, that's a delicious sounding idea. And then you could also cook pancakes in the bacon grease there. And attract rodents.
This is exciting.
Yeah. I think it's all coming
together. So many rodents too. Maybe that'll
so
be
many rodents. The Pied Piper
in your backyard.
Yeah. Yeah, your car's now the Pied Piper.
There's something for everybody.
Yeah.
It's cooking, it's cars, it's animals, it's nature.
Yeah.
It's a Jackass stunt, you know. I think this is the most viral content you can make.
Okay. It's set then. Patent pending, so nobody else steals this idea before I get to it in like 30 years when I get desperate. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there you have it, guys. That's my new job.
I was telling the guys before we came on that a bit of a black cloud over the house today. We were the entire Seth Bernina household of some porch piracy, it appears.
You've become part of the story, Rob.
Yep. It's not as funny today.
It could have happened to any one of us, and it makes it more real. And that's the thing, is that when we report on these stories, we're always reporting from a step back.
Yeah.
You know?
It's all fun and games until someone chucks an alligator at you through a drive-through window.
To now be like face down in the muck ourselves. Cause I think that I speak for Danny and myself when I say that we both are feeling your pain.
Yeah.
Because you get the notification, your package has arrived. You're like, I'll get it in a second. Walk out there, no package. Oh, maybe they just clicked delivered a little early. Wait on it for a little bit. Nothing. It's gone.
Yeah. Too bad you're not part of that half of 1% that can have an Amazon secure Amazon room. Yeah.
Also, you know, that what do the porch pirates do with the stuff that's not like the package that I think was taken from my house, I believe had my ZMA that helps me sleep and filters for my wife's mask that she wears. What do? They're just chucking that stuff out once they open the box?
They'll need all of that to help them sleep at night.
Yeah.
After committing so many crimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is true. That's like a godsend to them.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't slept for so long and now
I'm taking my kids' asthma medicine.
Breathe easy and sleep.
No, they're just throwing it in the garbage, I bet.
Or they're doing unboxing videos.
Danny? Oh, maybe
the
they're hoarders.
The porch pirate has taken my ZMA.
Yeah, I guarantee you he looked it up. He's like, dude, sweet pills. And then he's like, oh, these help you sleep. Awesome. I'm going to keep these.
Maybe if you
enjoy the melatonin, mother effer.
They own like a bodega or something where it's just like a one-stop shop. You can go in. Like, that's what I would do if I owned like a country store or something. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do that, but I could see owning a country store and being like, let's just pill for everything, all the Amazon stuff. That way we're socking it to big corporation. And then we'll put all this stuff on our shelves.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Maybe.
Is that like,
I don't know.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah. Like Cracker Barrel, like what Cracker Barrel has been doing for years, right in front of our faces.
You think everything at Cracker Barrel has been taken from the porches? Yeah. They do have a nice porch there. So maybe it's all,
porch decor too. Very simple.
There you go.
Yeah. And the barrel is where they keep everything before they put it out.
Yeah. See? Mm-hmm. So there you have it, guys.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about. Yes.
Did your yellow hornets get stolen?
Yellow jackets. Get it right. I don't think they make them anymore. I'm pretty sure that they got
shut down. Yeah, we looked them up. They had knockoffs, remember?
Yeah, I do remember. Yeah.
Plus, you don't want
to stop taking the yellow jackets, then you're not going to need the...
any amphetamines anymore. Maybe once in a while, I'll have a five-hour energy drink, but I'll only drink like half of it at once.
Okay.
You ever have one of those, Danny? A five-hour energy drink?
Yeah, I felt like it was more like 30 minutes.
It's a tiny.
Yeah, they are tiny, a little tiny shot. I have two. Once I retired from pro cycling, I would go to amateur races. And as a joke, I would carry the grossest forms of energy I could so that when I busted them out, the whole group of riders would be like, I can't even believe you're here right now. You should not be in the front group. Mm-hmm. So I'd usually have like a Rice Krispie treat and a 5 hour energy as my little snack pre or mid race, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah. You have a favorite flavor of the 5 hour energy drink, Tyson?
No, they're all pretty gross.
They are all gross.
Yeah, I think they are too.
I did develop a taste for Red Bull when I lived in Europe, and I was like, "Oh, the Red Bull flavor is a unique flavor."
Smarties tastes like liquid Smarties.
Yeah,
yeah. They did something right there by creating their own unique flavor instead of being like, this is a bunch of chemicals with a great flavoring on top. Hope you enjoy.
So they, speaking of dangerous cuisine and things that people are ingesting, there is a new warning out. Danny, have you spent any time in Wisconsin?
No, but I hope to soon.
Tyson, I have. Yes.
My mom's from Wisconsin.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Is your mom familiar with the cannibal sandwich?
Dude, I've never heard of that. I spent every other summer in Wisconsin until I was like 12 or 13.
It's not a summer thing.
It's a winter tradition.
But still, you would still think that you would have heard of it somewhere. Yeah. I've always heard of the beer and the cheese, and that's it. I never heard of the cannibal sandwich.
Okay. Well, it seems as though that there is a popular holiday treat in Wisconsin. some call it the cannibal sandwich. Other call it tiger meat.
But tiger meat. I love that name. Tiger meat.
Yes. Very Joe Exotic. Very 2020. Tiger meat is hot.
So hot.
This is a warning that, by the way, that's issued every year. So it's gotten to the point now where the warning has no meaning to those who just can't get enough of their tiger meat cannibal sandwich. Yeah.
So the tiger meat sandwich, many Wisconsin families consider them to be a holiday tradition, consists of, it's a raw meat sandwich.
Ground beef spread on bread.
Raw onions, not even cooked. Rye bread also, Tyson. That's a key.
I like chopped onions. Raw chopped onions are fine.
Yeah.
Ceviche or something. That's delicious.
Meat sandwiches.
And I'd even eat the raw onions on a cooked meat sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not eating raw onions on raw meat.
Dude, you're so not cultured.
That's true. I do not have a cultured palate when it comes to the flavors of the Midwest, I guess. Mm. But I don't think it's, I mean, and I don't know. I honestly, maybe it's just like big business telling me that I need to cook my meat to be safe. I don't know. Because Danny has a story about a girl eating raw cubes of chicken and totally fine.
Never forget that.
Yeah. So maybe it's all a hoax.
It's not a hoax that
big gas, big propane. No,
I'm saying that maybe the raw meat sandwiches are safe and fine to eat.
No. Stop. Don't bring this onto raw meat. Hold on. You can't tell me what to do. If I want to eat my raw meat sandwich, you can't stop me with your restrictions.
There's no restrictions. This is just
encouraging people to not get sick. Mm-hmm. And it is crazy, dude. Like, I think I've tried.
People
what
don't
is
like
the,
it when you tell them not to get sick.
Tartar, Tyson.
Tartar, the fancy beef tartar. I've tried that before. Yeah. And it's like, whatever. I tried it to try it. And not for me, but also, like, if you were like, you have to eat this, I'd be like, fine, I will take nibble on it a little bit. But ground beef, I think historically ground beef is the garbage meat all ground into the grinder so that you, like, it's already deemed not safe.
And probably then I bet you it varies in quality. Obviously, you can't just throw out a blanket.
Grade A.
There's some delicious ground meat. You just get underneath the grinder, open your mouth. I just go right in. Delicious.
Yeah. According to a 2018 list of Wisconsin's favorite holiday traditions, that was one of the top items. It's a popular item at Wisconsin family tables during the holidays. Not for the faint of heart. The Bunzel Meat Market in Milwaukee says it goes through 1,000 pounds of raw beef and 250 pounds of raw onions for the sandwiches just during the holiday period.
Oh, God, I just became vegetarian right now.
Dude, that's a pretty big sample size. If it was really as deadly as Tyson thinks it is, then you'd have a lot of people dead.
I don't think it's as deadly as I think it is. I think that I've always thought that raw meat was more deadly than it actually is, even though there are risks involved, obviously.
Yeah, it's you're rolling the dice.
But it's not a guarantee, you know?
Yeah.
It's like premarital sex when you were in high school. And you're like, if you do that, you're definitely getting girls pregnant. And you're like, is that? Mm-hmm. And then come to find out, it's like almost impossible to get anybody pregnant when you're trying. So now, like, so now I don't know which way is up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isaac, who's in Wisconsin, says that I've never seen it as a sandwich. I've just seen it on crackers.
Yeah, yeah, I noticed that in one picture was a giant ball of like seasoned meat.
Yeah.
Crackers.
Like a cheese ball.
Yeah. So the sandwich, I don't think they're saying you will die. I think that there is a good there's a chance that you could get sick.
That's why it's not an effective fear campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They need to ratchet it up.
Yeah, they need to have like a guy with a bloody diarrhea on the packaging, you know, like to warn people against eating the meat. You need to have a really graphic image.
Mm, yeah.
It won't scare away the hardcore raw meat eaters, but it might get those who are thinking about dabbling in raw meat.
Yeah.
If I were in a room and people were peer pressuring me to taste this on a cracker, I suppose I would.
Mm-hmm.
What if you were at your favorite place, Caligula Club? Mm-hmm. Lots of raw meat. You going to sample some?
A ton of raw meat there, Danny.
At the buffet? Yes.
Yeah, at the buffet. Oh,
I might already be full.
Yeah, so okay, all right. It's all about setting. That ball, like the cracker setup, I can see myself inadvertently eating that. Just be like, oh, crackers, spread. All right. Mm-hmm. Interesting flavors. I could see that happening.
Yeah. But what if you fell in love with it
meat?
And then you just found like the bloodlust and became one of those goth vampire kids?
I don't think goth vampire kids ate raw meat. I don't think that was part of their whole shtick.
Mm-hmm. But it should be. I think that should be the thing that like really sets them apart. Like if you want to pretend to be like a vampire-y goth person, you got to eat the raw meat.
Yeah.
Okay. You can talk to their like leadership and the
organization to see what guidelines need to be changed in the handbook.
Just to get into the science of it, it seems like that the bacteria is on the outside of the meat. And while you can get away with eating raw meat on the inside, as long as the outside is cooked, but when you grind it, the outside becomes all of it.
The inside? I am so confused. So I'm okay to eat raw meat as long as I'm not eating the outside.
Steak. Like, you know, if you sear like the outside, that's going to then... if you have if it's the steak is again, this is not scientific fact. Don't quote me on this, but I think that's what they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's just go through real quick here. Yeah. Rob, in a room in Wisconsin, you know full well what it is. Everybody's eating it, saying it's delicious. Are you tasting some?
No.
Danny.
I probably would.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Just like here.
What would you say? It's against my religion?
I mean, I've had haggis. I can handle this.
I'd say, no, I don't want to. It's not against my religion.
I'd just be like, yeah. I mean, worst case scenario, I get sick enough to lose like the 20 pounds I've been trying to lose for the last 7 years anyways.
Yeah, get rid of all that Christmas weight.
Yeah. Isaac says it's not delicious nor disgusting.
Oh, it's just... palate is totally indifferent.
You know you have meat in your mouth. Yeah. You're just not sure if it's good or bad meat.
It's fine. Yeah. Okay. Cannibal sandwiches.
I think with enough onions, it would probably be delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say that maybe they should go with vampire sandwiches, Tyson.
Vampire sandwiches?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we should call it?
Yeah, maybe that might make it more catchy.
No, I like tiger meat sandwiches.
Tiger meat is pretty good. And then you have your tiger's blood snow cone afterwards. Dude, the perfect meal.
I didn't know you could eat every part of the tiger.
Yeah, you can eat every part of the tiger, the meat and the blood.
Okay. So please be careful with your cannibal sandwiches this holiday season. So... let's talk about this. I thought this was very interesting. Danny, have you had any surgeries?
The augmentation.
Wisdom teeth.
Yeah.
Does that count?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. I did have a surgery in my mouth. They had to remove like this tooth underneath all my other teeth.
Yeah.
It was come up. It was like a spare tooth.
Yes. Dude, that's going to be awesome.
They had to cut the back of my gums on my lower part of my mouth and remove it and then put in a bunch of stitches.
Oh, my God.
This is what it sounds like to me, dude, is you were like the evolutionary step.
Yeah.
I was finally having replaceable teeth like a shark does in humans, which is what we've always wanted, because it's like... Yeah. Whoever designed our faces didn't really think it through and be like, we're going to make teeth last, I don't know, 15 years, but humans are going to live 80 years.
You're I have like, a third tooth on standby.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. Yes. I've had surgeries before, Rob.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Tyson, I'm assuming that it was not your surgeon's birthday on the day you had your surgery.
I did not ask, but it could very well have been.
Should
I mean,
have
there's
asked.
A 1 in 365 chance that it was.
Yeah. Now, this is especially true for people that are over 65, because that's who was studied here. But it turns out the mortality rates were 23% higher among those that were treated on the surgeon's birthday for some reason.
Oh, because he's rushing to get home and just ingest.
Party down. Yeah, have some cannibal sandwiches.
Never get surgery on the surgeon's birthday.
Well, what is the surgeon doing scheduling? I guess he could be an ER surgeon, you know, so he didn't decide. But I mean, I would like to think they'd block out that date. Now we know they should block out that date.
They, by law.
According to this research,
how much research went into this, though?
Okay, well, that we can get it. Let me hear. Let me give you the stats and then I'll give you the numbers. Surgeons are no different from anyone else and speculate that highly skilled doctors may be distracted during surgery due to turning 1 year older.
Like what distractions do you think they're experiencing? Like, what are they thinking about? Yeah. Like cutting open this 65-year-old person. Like, oh, gross.
So this is what I'm just about like to another day.
They looked at 30-day mortality rates among Medicare beneficiaries between 65 and 99 years old, and each patient underwent one of 17 different surgical procedures between 2011 and 2014, and a grand total of 2,000 of these surgeries took place on the surgeon's birthday. There was a 6.9% mortality rate compared to a 5.6% mortality rate when it was not the surgeon's birthday.
Okay.
I would think you'd do your best on your birthday. It's your birthday. Hopefully everybody's saying happy birthday, Bob, and like patting you on the back and giving you attaboys. And you're like, dude, I'm so happy. Everyone is paying attention to me. I'm going to just knock this out of the park.
Yeah, that's the thing. And it's like, what could ruin a birthday more than accidentally killing somebody, you know? So it's like,
by
you'd
the way,
be trying your hardest to not ruin your birthday. That's how
you've
I feel.
Once you've killed someone on your birthday, now it's just going to all go down. Every birthday you're going to remember.
Every birthday is an anniversary of that murder.
Yeah.
And you're like,
dude. In fairness, that the patients were studied for 30 days following the surgery. So it wasn't like they were losing people, say, on the operating table. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
it was funnier if we thought about it the other way.
Yeah, it made more sense.
It shouldn't be. Someone's life is at stake. Not even a package here.
Yeah.
This is a life.
Yeah, this is a life.
So
ask. What you're saying is ask. Maybe you think do a little research on your doctor first.
You think that maybe the rest of the office is coming in and all the nurses are like, surprise, as he's like tidying up the last ventricle on the, I don't even know, body part.
A surprise party in the OR.
As he's like, they're like, come in, we got an emergency surgery for you. And midway through, the entire office jumps in, yells surprise, drops his scalpel. Everything else in there is just like, oh, there's a cake. I'll stitch him up. Stitches him up real quick.
Frosty's has a slice of cake falling off his face into the open wound.
Well, I'm wondering, does this apply to other occupations? Say, do you not want to call a plumber if it's his birthday?
I mean, it probably goes. Yeah, it probably goes all the way across.
Yeah, all the way across.
What about the mechanic?
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, I do cameos on my birthday for other people who have, and that's exciting for me because we share the same birthday. So I'm actually extra excited to do those ones.
So only do work on people who share the birthday.
Yes,
sounds like that's the answer here.
Yes, So that's the best way. That's how you're going to get results. The best is when you're like, excuse me, doctor, I'd schedule a surgery for June 17th. And you're like, oh, that's actually my birthday. I was planning on taking off. That's my birthday too. Oh my God, this is perfect.
So I'm excited. Give
you, like, all the extras, all the bells and whistles, and I'm not going to upcharge you for anything. It's perfect. And then you like turn him into like the $6 million man.
Yeah. He wakes up bionic leg. Bionic dong. I read an article, not an article, it was in a book about how you don't ever want to go before a parole board before lunch.
Yeah.
Because the number of paroles issued just drops dramatically as people get hungry. And I actually think about that
right before lunch.
Yeah. And I actually think about that every time I schedule any appointment where I need the person's attention and maybe a little bit of help. I'm like, do not do it before lunch.
Yeah. That was one of the Malcolm Gladwell books.
It was a Malcolm Gladwell book.
And I feel like that there's also like juries, like judges. Yep. But I feel like that he said it was first thing in the morning, you tend to get off. And then in later in the day, it's bad, like for parole hearings.
I also heard that.
Yeah, I could be remembering it wrong.
This is when we were having kids, that if you go in late, they just do a C-section on you because they just want to go home after the day.
Hmm.
But I don't know if that's true or false.
Well, just spread it, dude. Just spread it with put it on the, it'll make it through.
Put it on the anti-vaxxer mom blogs on Facebook, mom groups. That's probably where I read it in the first place. But it did make a little bit of sense where it's like, yeah, the doctor's been working all day and he's just tired and wants to get home and isn't going to wait here for baby to happen naturally. So... Mm-hmm. That sucker out of there.
Let me ask you guys this. Next appointment you have a surgery coming up to enlarge your calves or whatever. You find out it's the doctor's birthday. Does this study concern you enough to reschedule?
No. I just lie to him and tell him it's my birthday too.
All right.
I think the study is for people that are over 65 in sort of like a life threatening situations. Yeah. So I think you'd be okay with a calf enlargement.
Okay. Phoebe in the chat said they just changed doctors no matter if you've had your baby or not.
Okay.
So there you have it. Okay. So don't listen to me. You can have your babies at any time of the day.
So Tyson, you talked about how that you like to give cameos when it's your birthday because it's people who share their
it's just a little extra with both of us.
One man has been making cameos all year long, regardless of whether or not it is his birthday, and that is Kevin from The Office, aka Brian Bumgardner, who it was reported that he will make $1 million in cameo bookings this year.
That is crazy. Let's do some research on it. How much is he charging?
I think it's like $200.
And how many?
$199.99.
How many reviews has he done?
Looks
how many reviews are on his thing?
1,900 reviews.
1,900 reviews. Okay. And that's a lot of reviews. How long has he been on Cameo? Do we have those?
Let's see. Stats? I don't. I could look him up on there if you want to see. That do you think he does like really great cameos?
That's what I want to see. I want to see one of his cameos.
By the way, he's not the one who released this information.
Cameo, I believe.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is he the highest earner? Our highest earner is Kevin Malone from the Kevin Malone character from The Office. That seems really lame that they would tell everybody that.
I can't believe you know his last name, Danny.
So
I just rewatched the entire Office.
Yeah.
So WB in the chat says at 200 a pop, he'd have to do 5,000, but that's not true because Cameo takes 25%. So you have to do more than that.
This might be net.
Oh, total.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that could be net.
I'm not sure. Let's see. Hold on. So I'm going to go ahead. Let me bring up the page that you could see him on Cameo.
Can't imagine a lot. Review. 2,000 reviews, total 5-star. So yeah. He's doing a good job.
I can't imagine his cameos are that exciting, but let's see. Okay, so it looks like he dropped down his price to $195. And so,
It's $199.99 on the Apple app because they charge $5 more than everybody, every other place. And then and then they take a larger percentage. Apple okay. does.
Here, you want to see a Kevin cameo? Let's see it. Well, let's yep. see what he's doing. All right. Here is one of the most recent Kevin Brian Baumgartner cameos.
Hello, Lisa. Lisa. Surprise. I know. I can't believe it's me either. Listen, Jay, your hubby, your hubskins, reached out to me and wanted me to wish you a very happy birthday. That's right. It is your birthday, Lisa. And that is freaking huge. That's what she said. Yes, happy birthday from Jay and your son, Jackson. They want you to have a great...
Boy, it's just like phoning him in.
You know what, though? He's an office character. Yeah. So the fan base is huge.
I got freaking puppets over here. I'm like killing myself on these cameos. Puts in,
you do have to like hit that... thing, and he does because he has the inside jokes with the office there. Yeah. He's got into his character a little bit, and that's good.
Here, let's watch one more. I bet it's exactly the same. Here, let's see.
Hello, Brianne. Brianne. Surprise. I know. I can't believe it's me either. Listen.
See, he's just doing the same thing all day.
Yep. Hey, guys.
It That's fine. Matter. That's what people want. They want him the to say thing. Their name.
Yeah, Rob's they angry. Rob's he had made $1 million.
I got to make a new podcast every 2 hours.
Rob's got puppets. Did you say you use puppets? He's got multiple voices. He's pulling out all the stops for his cameo.
Like a whole thing going on over here.
Yeah.
All these stupid things.
Do you have one of me?
No, because I don't do a Tyson impression.
I did a cameo for Danny last week for his birthday. You didn't do a birthday cameo for him.
I mean, I didn't ask for it.
How did you? People are.
I sing the song to you, Danny.
That's right. Cameo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did a live cameo here.
Ron, why it seems to be bothering you that he's making $1 million?
I would like to make $1 million on cameo. That'd be awesome. Yeah. But. It's whatever, you know.
I mean, I don't want to be a hater, but
yeah, you can't hate the hustle, man. That's crazy that guy. If is he the top earner of the year on Cameo?
Top earner of the year.
He found the perfect price point.
Yeah.
Do we know?
See, I would be more like if you told me like Debbie Gibson has like a piano and she's like playing a song for everybody. At least she's putting some work in.
Hmm. Who is number two? Do they say?
Oh,
is
there I don't know. A place I don't think they released area. That. I think it's just they.
Oh, so they just sold out this guy.
Yeah.
Said, hey, this guy's got $1 million in cash at his house right now.
Lame.
Okay.
Let's see. Cameo top earners. The highest earning cameo stars. This is from April. So. Okay. You won't believe who was also on the list.
Someone we know?
Estimate? No. Michael Rappaport? Really? Who wanted to hear from him?
Crazy. The thing is, though, if you find your stride on Cameo, there's actually Cameo celebrities that are just known for doing cameos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who else, Rob?
Yeah. Also in the top 10, this is as of April, so that they don't have
all of the
survivors included on here. So number three here was Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah, because his voice is so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that'd be funny to hear his voice.
It would definitely set you off on your birthday.
Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank.
Okay.
Sean Astin. I get that one for Danny.
Yeah. Rudy.
Yeah.
Rudy and the Hobbit. Danny, you don't know who Sean Astin is?
Oh, okay, yeah. Very. These names aren't really ringing bells.
He's in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Yes, I've seen Lord of the Rings.
Comedian James Murray. Carol Baskin, et cetera, made $70,000.
Yeah.
I remember seeing her. She made the news for Cameo a couple months back, probably right around this April. So.
Yeah, Michael Rappaport. Who was like, hey, I got you a Michael Rappaport cameo. Like, what did I do to you?
Can a cameo be used against you in a court of law? Like, what if someone paid you to say, "I killed my husband and buried him in my largest estate on my largest estate"?
Yes, that would be awesome.
Could you have a confession admitted to court as a cameo?
Fan writes it in, you would admit to it, and then
I think it depends if the prosecutors purchased it. I think that then that is their evidence to present.
But don't the prosecutors by law have to tell Carol Baskins that they are prosecutors before they trick her into admitting guilt?
Hey, prosecutor here, big fan. Just wondered if you could read it back to me.
Yeah. DePet says that's the Carol Baskin cameo script.
The cameo script is cool.
Cats and kittens? Yeah. I did kill my husband. Yeah. But cameos are not admissible in court, so I guess I'll never have a problem.
Plus, if she says it enough, then it is like, yeah, of course she said she did it. So that one time she slipped up in the 80s or 90s when she said it, just covered up by all the time she said it now.
Yeah,
it's actually a pretty good ploy.
That's what you do. It's like what I do is I just say I love you, not on Cameo in general, but in general, I say I love you to everybody awkwardly, but then they're all getting the same thing. So then it's not weird when I say I love you to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Like Rachel.
Like Rachel or my kids. Exactly.
Before we get to our next story, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more News AF right after this. Actual news. All right, let's talk a little bit about some treasure. This is a big treasure podcast.
Treasure.
Danny, so as an amateur treasure hunter, are you aware that you could get in trouble for not revealing where treasure you find is?
Well, that's not really what happened here.
Tell me what happened.
So a group of people, I think it was 100 something individuals, invested over $12 million into a treasure hunter who's claimed to know the whereabouts of a ship that went down, I think off of North Carolina, carrying a lot of gold. And he made this is it gets a little confusing because he made the discovery.
Yeah.
And he did find gold but the investors never saw any of that money come back. And then supposedly he's holding on to almost $2 million worth of gold coins that is hidden somewhere, but he's not revealing the location. And he's been held in contempt of court for 5 years because he refuses to reveal the whereabouts of the gold coins, okay, claiming he has amnesia.
Question number one, Tyson, is it that he found the gold and is keeping it to himself, or there was no gold to begin with?
Danny said there was gold. Is there definitely
there pictures? Gold? There was pictures taken.
But those could be doctored or those could be fake gold or whatever. But the thing is like this guy took 12 milli from investors. Did he spend all 12 milli hunting for gold?
They've seen no return.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, did he spend all the 12 million or did he keep some for himself? Because if he kept some for himself, then he should have enough to then be like, all it is I'm sorry. We put 12 million into this. I know. Here's the 2 million in gold that we got. At least it's something. Let's split it up equally. Like, why wouldn't you do that?
Well, just recalling this article off of memory, I read two different ones yesterday. He did find gold and he did sell some of that gold. I don't know why the investors didn't get anything back. I mean, that's the one part I don't understand. I know that he's holding back on some of the money. And since they haven't seen any, they want all that they can get, you know what I mean, from him. And I think that's really what this is about. It's like, hey, you have assets. We are suing you. We never saw any of the money you've made. We've never gotten a return on our investment. So until you tell us the whereabouts, he's been held. This is the crazy thing. He hasn't necessarily, he's broken a law, but not a law that would really, in most cases, have the person spend 5 years in jail. This is very unusual. And the other thing that's unusual is that a guy would piss away what is just like the last remaining moments of a decent life, you know, as he ages out of into like super old age. Mm-hmm. He's just spending that all in jail to conceal. It's like, what's more valuable? 2 million in gold or your freedom for 5 years?
Yeah,
the answer's simple. Sophie's choice.
Yeah, well, for him, it's gold, obviously.
Obviously, but yeah, which is wild. I mean, yeah. So then you got to divide 2 million divided by five plus the taxes on top.
Oh, and he's been fined since the beginning. They have fined him $1,000 per day for every day he has not told them where it is. So his fine is up, if I remember correctly, $1.7 million is what his fine is up to right now.
So he's just waiting until it hits 2 million. Then he's like, here's the coins and see ya.
Is it possible that he really doesn't remember where the gold is?
So in the thing I read, it said that his medical condition that he claims to have would not prohibit him from actually recalling where he had hidden the gold. And he did flee. So there was, he did seem suspicious. He did flee to Florida, hung out with his girlfriend. U.S. Marshals came and arrested him. So there is this sense of like, he does know he's done something wrong, because that's usually what fleeing indicates. And so it's, I think the gold's out there. He's just not sharing it.
Okay. Then we talked a couple of weeks ago about what was going on over at Caligula, New York. This has been the, you know, out of 2020, all these different things that we're covering, the COVID orgies. I did not see in my crystal ball at the start of all this, but
because they were breaking up. Remember the cuddle sessions,
everything,
the big sex clubs, the Costcos of sex clubs were being broken up. And so, yeah, they're just coming back. It's inevitable.
So in Belgium, it turns out that the police had to break up a 60 person birthday orgy. Now, Tyson, do you think there's any issue with going to an orgy of someone who is having a birthday? Are you worried about that they could not, they could be distracted
and then hurt you
Or not perform at their peak? Yeah,
so much pressure.
I mean, I'm 41, of course I'd understand if you weren't performing at your peak, Rob.
Yeah. So ideally, you would want to come to an orgy not on the host's birthday.
You think so? Or do you think the extra excitement of having your birthday would then put you into the peak performance gear?
Can you imagine showing up for this party? You brought a present. No one told you what was going to happen.
What present do you bring?
Leathers. Kind of
Annie's assuming that nobody knows that they're actually going to an orgy.
I'm assuming that what are the odds that one guy went? He was just really good friends, maybe hadn't seen him for a while, saw the invitation on Facebook, it was accidentally sent, and he's just sitting there, he's seeing all these people he knows. I mean, at what point do you leave? Like when the first pair of pants come off? Like, where's your threshold for like, this party is too out of control for me?
I think definitely when you start seeing people have intercourse in front of your
face. So you're waiting. You're not even waiting for people. You're like, okay, there's a couple naked people here. That's
I don't
normal.
Mind pants off. Like, okay, sure.
Pants off. Everyone keeps their socks and shirts on.
Sure, that's fine. But then I think the first, officially aroused party member is
That's it. That's your check, yeah. Please.
Hanging dong and stuff, whatever. I'm there.
But, I can't believe you let it get to that point, Tyson.
So what are you doing?
Dude, I see someone take off their pants anywhere near the snack table. I'm gone.
I've watched you around somebody without pants eating a snack.
You have?
Yeah. When we'd go on those long runs all the time. Matt would pull his pants down and use the potty.
Yeah, he would just have his pants down. He'd eating
definitely make
sandwich.
Sure that we saw him.
Yeah,
that's snack break. You'd be like, I'm going to the bathroom.
Okay, but that's like going to a party where you know what's going to happen, right? This is you're not there. You're there. You didn't know this was going to happen. I'm just wondering what your threshold is. And it sounds to me like when a fully torque is
full torque.
Something's happening now. Yeah. The mood here has changed. I no longer feel comfortable.
Yeah. And I think I even still, I think before that, when guys are showing up with GoPros on their heads, because I'm assuming that that's what's happening at these orgies now. I think at that point,
the GoPro would not be welcomed.
Red flags are already going off as soon as I see a dude with a GoPro on his forehead.
I think when I see a guy with a mask on and no pants, I'd be like, hey, that's it. I'm out of here. Mm-hmm.
You feel like that they were wearing coronavirus protection?
Yeah, that would be a very strange, of course, but it sounds like they did get it broken up. Yeah. So they were violating, I'm sure, all sorts of rules.
So this party, which was in Belgium, actually, it was taking place across the street from a hospital where people are being treated for COVID. It was to celebrate a 28-year-old woman's birthday party. And there were some noise complaints.
So it was her birthday?
It was a woman's birthday, yes.
Okay.
Police broke in and they discovered 50 pleasure seekers inside. The partygoers were all naked and French. That they had all chipped in to cover the cost of alcohol, drugs, and escorts. And one person was charged with possession of bringing in nitrous oxide, a.k.a. laughing gas, to the party.
Yeah.
I can't believe they moved Sex Island to here as everything was getting shut down.
This was last minute. I love the use of pleasure seekers. So it's a euphemism for perverts.
They're pleasure seekers.
We're all pleasure seekers.
Yeah, this is reminiscent of another headline I saw, and I'm not certain of what country it's in, but there's some country that is shutting down non-essential orgies of greater than three humans or something like that. Somebody in the chat maybe has the exact article, but how do you deem an orgy essential or non-essential?
Probably just have to go get a permit for it. You know, okay. Get notarized in triplicate.
Have everybody get tested
within
72 hours of the orgy, or quarantine for 2 weeks
before. Tested for what, Tyson?
COVID.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Everything. They just roll around in a giant man-sized petri dish.
If they had like an all-in-one, that would really be, you know, ideal.
Be nice. That would be nice.
Elizabeth Holmes tried, you know, and she just couldn't do it. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's a joke for all you Silicon Valley people out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he still doesn't get it.
I don't get it. When you're talking about the show,
Elizabeth Holmes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She's Thanos.
Yeah, she's Thanos. And they created were going to create this little blood machine that could test for everything.
I know. But,
imagine a one-stop shop for all diseases testing with just a pinprick.
Yeah.
Well, the joke didn't land. I guess I'm going to go refill my coffee. I'll be back, guys.
Yeah. Danny, if there was some sort of orgy that could document some sort of like 10 to 14 day quarantine, do you think that would be allowed?
Yeah, because it would have research tied into it. Like, does COVID spread effectively through orgy scenarios? I think the answer is going to be a definitive yes.
But if you quarantine before...
Oh, can you safely pull off a COVID?
Yeah, could you document that? Like if they said, hey, look, we've followed all the protocols. Everybody here has been quarantining for 14 days. This is it.
Yeah, I think that in probably a place like Belgium, that's not a problem.
Yeah. Is there a permit needed to?
Yes, what I was going to say. There's got to be some red tape, though, that you're going to have to get through to make this legal.
Because you could film like a movie. You know, if you're following protocols and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know what the orgy laws in Belgium are. I haven't had time to really examine them.
Yeah.
But if they're legal on a non-COVID year, then I can't see why quarantining wouldn't make them legal in a COVID year. Okay. But who knows? It's a crazy time to live.
Wild. Okay.
COVID's the least part of your worries in a 60-person orgy.
Mm-hmm.
So shame.
Yeah.
Lack of performance. There's all sorts of problems.
People can't there's look no at way I'm showing up to an orgy. Yeah. Especially with how famous we all are right now. It's like, can we really afford to go to an orgy and not perform? Like that.
Yeah, the pressure's immense. Mm-hmm. It's weird that there's this direct inverse correlation between pressure to perform and actual performance.
I'm so glad that we're talking about pressure because I have one other story to talk about how... A study out of the UK has revealed that robots can actually peer pressure humans. Tyson, could you imagine?
Yeah, of course I can. Sir, please take off your pants before entering this orgy party. Everyone is doing it, including robots.
No, Tyson, that's not how it would go. It'd go like this. Tyson, you are leaving already. Why are you leaving? Why don't you stay? Your best friends are here.
Mm-hmm.
Get comfortable. I will help you remove your pants and keep them warm for you.
Come, just stay. Have down. Tiger meat, Tyson.
Yeah. Have some tiger meat.
It's
here,
delicious.
Some nitrous gas to relax you. Next thing Tyson knows, dude, oh, he's completely naked and full of shame.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Dude. No, I mean, but maybe not. Maybe the robot has built me up well enough that I actually am feeling good about my position now. And I'm like, thank you, robot. They're like, you're welcome, Tyson. I know what you want more than you know what you want. And that is by design.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, cool. How much is one of you cost? We are not for sale. And that's the beginning of the robot wars.
No, I thought you were going to go a different way where then you turn to your friend to say, this robot's really helpful. And your friend looks over and he says, what robot? And then you get back.
It was a dream.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Matrix.
Yeah.
Dude, that would be crazy. Yeah. That's where you thought I was going.
That is crazy
that you like have held me in such high esteem that I could have come up with something. So
I was excited.
Yeah. Wow. That we were on the same bread.
Yep.
Well, Danny and I used to be close enough where that's exactly what would have happened. Now our stories are just not in sync.
I bet you if I was at an orgy with Tyson, we'd probably stay a little bit longer together, kind of like watching the scene unfold. Whereas if you're by yourself, you'd probably leave sooner. And if I had a robot, I'd probably stay longer as well.
Yeah. If you have a wingman to comment on what's happening and just be like, look at that dude. He's fully torn.
Well, and the robot can be a wingman. I don't think I
had to start that off too. It's like a junior high school dance where there's all the boys on one side and all the girls on the other side. Who is the first guy that's just like, I'm ready. Let's do this.
Yeah. He's the guy that goes on to create a Fortune 500 company.
Yeah. Yeah, and then get arrested because
years later after living the high life.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. After selling it for $10 billion.
But back to this robot thing, I think it's interesting. It would be
I have to say, wallflower at an orgy. I'm going to just pocket that for my autobiography. I think that's going to be the title.
Robots. Guys, I want to talk about robots.
Yeah.
Okay. Robots are the ultimate wingman, I think, because it's going to build you up. It's going to give you positive reinforcement.
And you're going to feel safe.
You're going to feel safe because, you know, what's the ulterior motive of a robot? It can't have any, you know, it's not going to force me out to do something that is against my, best interests.
Are you sure? Robot designers are designing robots like the way Tesla designs cars.
I'm saying that at first, the trust is absolute, right? The robot is probably your only friend.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have
your only true friend because it's designed to look out for you in all ways imaginable.
And so robots will be able to apply pressure even more than what a human could do. I think.
So the robot would then treat us all differently because it would be like, Tyson, you don't need this orgy. You are fine how you are. And I'm like, oh, cool. Thanks. I'll see you later. And then the robot's like, Danny, you must participate. Step out of your comfort zone and enjoy people for once. You will find that they are not that bad.
Why would we care about robots?
Rob will be like, because initially there's not enough robots for everybody. Mm-hmm. And they just give us one to share amongst ourselves. We get it every third weekend. We get it. And then Rob goes to the orgy with the robot. And it is like, you will watch this, Rob.
I will hold your eyes open. Mm-hmm. Stop crying. Yeah. Why are you crying?
There's one orgy. It's an eternal orgy. It never stops. And we all just take turns going to it with this one robot.
You know, I have seen depictions of hell illustrated that way.
No, this is the future, dude. This is
double whipping a bunch of naked.
If you get out of the galactic salt mines on the surface anywhere, then this is what's happening.
This is how they generate.
I will escort you. Yeah, this is how they get more people to work in the mines. So they're just like, I will escort you to the orgy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Tyson, you do not need this orgy. You are very strong, both emotionally, physically, and mentally. You are good with people, and you are well-balanced. Danny, you must at least encounter everyone in this room for 2 minutes minimum time.
I would not listen. I'm sorry, but the robot would not be able
to think overpower. How well-rounded, dude. Daddy would come out of that a different person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I would. You're like, Danny, why aren't you talking? You haven't talked. Wait.
No, I would be like, Danny, are you talking to strangers? Why are you striking up weird conversations with just strangers on the street? This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever witnessed Danny do. It could go one of two ways.
Yeah.
The robots that they studied in this research from the UK, they built a gambling simulation where people had to try to, like, in this game, they were inflating a balloon, but the balloon could pop randomly at mm-hmm. any moment. So you hit the space bar to inflate the balloon, but it could pop, but you would get more money for having a bigger balloon. I believe there's a few Mario Party mini games that are like this.
Yep. I'm not impressed with that.
And the robot would tell you, like, make it bigger, make it bigger. And so they felt like that this is...
Are we meaning, talking about the orgy?
No. They felt like that the robot was really having some influence on risky behavior in humans. And then the... if you stopped, the robot would ask you comments like, why did you stop pumping?
I'm confused now.
We're at the orgy again.
You know what? This isn't impressive. Fanning the flames of people's gambling addiction mm-hmm. is not that impressive. I think it's more impressive you get a 13-year-old to go out to the center of the floor at a junior high dance, mm-hmm. like Tyson said, and get him to ask a girl to dance. That's peer pressure.
Yeah.
Or the guy who's starting the orgy. Like, you show up, everybody knows it's an orgy.
First guy to take his pants off.
Yeah.
First
on,
guy
Tyson.
To be like, this party started.
Do it. Yeah. So they feel like that the robots are having an influence on people, making them have riskier behavior. They felt like that the people that were in the control group that did not have the robot whispering in their ear, they did not blow up their balloons as big.
Keep blowing.
The thing is that you have to, with the Mario Party game, you go with whoever's in first place and you just go, and then right at the end you edge them out or their balloon pops and you hold. And that's also good for a lot of survivor challenges when you're building a tower of cards, the tallest. All you have to do is be a little bit right behind first place. And then at the last moment, you want to drag a little bit.
Yeah.
There's no reason to get in the lead immediately only to have everything come crashing down.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
They said receiving direct encouragement from a risk-promoting robot seemed to override the participants' direct experiences and instincts.
But robot, she's a prostitute.
What, are you not a man? Are you telling me right now you're not a man?
I am a man.
Then prove it.
Yeah.
I will watch.
Yes, prove it. I will record and later we can go over.
Analyze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the researchers are hoping that they might be able to use robots and artificial intelligence in preventive programs such as anti-smoking campaigns in schools when with hard to reach populations.
Oh man, this would be crazy. So it'd be like, oh man, I feel like a cigarette. And then the robot pops in and is like, do not smoke. I have an orgy we can go to.
No.
And then you're at school and you're like, I'm not going to do my homework and I'm going to yell in the class right now. It's like, you have to do your homework later, Tyson, if you ever want to grow up and go to an orgy. And you're like, are all robots designed around orgies? And they are. And we know that. But we,
because they're cast off pleasure models.
Yes. That's what everything is going to be in the future. So
it's like by default always falls back to pleasure.
Yeah. There's always a little bit of its programming still trapped in its lamp.
I can see using the robot take the place of like a parent. Like, I found these smokes under your bed. I'm going to sit and watch while you smoke every single one of them. You know what I mean? Like, just, it'd be nice if you could have your robot teach your kid about
smoking,
all the terrible things.
And it could rattle off the facts, but also be in tune with your vitals at the moment. So as you're smoking the pack, it would be like, Danny, you have now created 2% of your lung is permanently damaged, never to be able to use again. 3% now of your lung is now permanently damaged. And then that's like really hit hard.
No, that's true. If a robot was spitting facts in my face, I would totally believe the robot over a human trying to do the same thing.
Never tell me the odds.
Robot freaking knows. which is what this study is saying.
Don't buy your robot from Fox News because they have their own model.
People believe the robot is endowed with some kind of special inside information about the balloon I think they're saying.
I'm telling you that like in Star Wars, C-3PO was always like trying to like, I suspect that this is going to be very dangerous. I would recommend that we don't like shut up.
He was programmed to be a coward.
Yeah.
That's because you live long enough with robots, you'll lose all that shiny new robot feeling.
The Tin Man and the Lion, I think, is C-3PO is their child.
Master Danny, I would not get back into that orgy. You don't know where those people have been. I really wouldn't recommend it. You don't know what you're talking about. You give me a rusty bucket of bolts.
Oh man,
people ignore them.
Yeah, WB is in the chat saying that Orgy Robot is another good character of mine. So I've got Pony Lady, I got Orgy Robot, and I've got Regular Robot. Yeah. I think Orgy Robot and Regular Robot are the same.
Tyson has various robots. He has Danny's breakfast making robot. There's many robots.
Yeah, I'm good at robots.
Dude, Rocky Balboa's robot. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forgot I was Rocky Balboa's
robot. Tyson is about to make $1 million on Cameo.
Oh, dude, that's not bad. I'll do robot impressions. I've done Pony Lady once, but man, Pony Lady never hits as hard as she did that first time.
Sometimes it's hard to replicate that special moment.
Yeah, she really slapped that first time. It was great.
Okay. All right, Danny, you ready for the bolt hole?
Yeah, exciting. It's about a hole.
I recommend that we shouldn't do another bolt hole.
Shut up.
Okay.
You must try a bolt hole. Danny, this will broaden your horizons and make you a better all-around person. Even if you don't like it, please finish to completion.
Okay. All right, here we go. Here's Danny's bolt hole.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yes!
This story is about a hole.
Okay.
The discovery of a hole.
Okay.
You know, there was an article a while ago that made the news, and then it stuck in the news for like 2 weeks about the people finding the hidden alcohol in the walls of their house.
Okay, yes.
Remember that?
Was it old like prohibition alcohol or what?
I think so. And then we've covered other stories about people who find cash in between the walls of their house.
Yeah.
And I mean, almost those stories are exciting enough to make me want to kind of tear my house apart, but it's not really old, you know. Yeah. And one of the advantages of having an old
house. If you are going to tear your house, let me know. I'll fly in for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the exciting things about an old house are all the secrets, both bad and good. But a lot of time people don't have the curiosity to go after a mystery. You know what I mean? Like some people are okay, which is kind of like, I wonder what this lever does. They could live their entire life by this giant lever and never pull it. Right. That's just how they are. And that's how this story starts out. There was a guy in England who had a manhole in his backyard that for 40 years, he never looked under. He just, I don't know what he assumed. It doesn't say what he thought it was.
Okay.
He would just walk by it when he did his lawn work. He never even lifted it up like when he was doing lawn care or anything like that. But after 40 years, recently, he decided to finally check out what was underneath the manhole cover. Probably just got bored. Mm-hmm. You know, it's quarantine.
Gateway to hell. So,
not quite.
All the way to China.
And he started to uncover some cement stairs. I love stuff like this, right? Like, how exciting would this be if you're making this discovery?
Okay.
So him and his friends started clearing off the stairs, and it led down into a bomb shelter he didn't even know he had or existed. And now he's turned it into a room where he can go, it seems like, drink on his own. A man cave. I mean, really, it's just a picnic table with a bunch of alcohol.
But he went 40 years without having...
40 years!
So sad.
Think like how awesome would that discovery been? There. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it can't fit 60 people, but it could definitely fit a lot, and they would be out of the reach, you know, if you had a secret trap door of the authorities. But 40 years. How much more awesome would this have been if he had discovered it 35 years ago? So all I'm saying is, if you got something that's tickling the, you know, your curiosity bone, you know, just check it out. You never know. It's, you know, I'm not sure where in the body that bone resides, but it's in there. And all I'm saying is, if you've got a lever, a door, something, just open it and find out, because you don't want to spend 40 years with a giant. It was an unused bomb shelter, mint condition.
Yeah, let's let one of our guests this time encourage our listeners.
Most bomb shelters, I think, are unused.
You would like to discover the secrets of your old houses. Please pull those levers, open those secret doors, and uncover all secrets.
Cover
there is something special behind that wall. Please knock it down with a hammer.
No,
do not knock it.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, unless you're committed, but just, you know, explore those little things that have been tugging at the back of your mind, which is what he finally did after 40 years.
What a great life message.
It really is. But was there anything cool down there, like time capsule-y wise? Like, did he find like a rapper that was 40 years old? You know, that weird cabin up on Cascade that you frequent?
Yeah, I don't frequent. That is a I found a cabin on this mountain, like unreachable, no roads. You have to kind of go up through these cliffs. It hand built with lots of stuff inside. Very bizarre. We went inside, just had a creepy vibe. Supposedly it was built by a tax dodger, but no one really knows who built it. But yeah, it was awesome. I love finding stuff like that.
Yeah, crazy.
Okay. There you go. Anything else, Danny?
That's it.
When I said rapper, I meant W-R-A-P-P-E-R.
Yeah.
Not MC Hammer. It's not.
Yeah. MC Hammer, I think, wishes he was 40.
Yeah. A 40-year-old rapper. Okay. I'm 41. So who's a year younger than me that's a rapper? Let's probably see. Some.
Kanye? Yeah, there's probably.
He's got to be close. He's maybe 39.
Usher. Does he count as a rapper?
Let's see.
Okay. He's probably R&B.
All right. So this is from our favorite website, famousbirthdays.com. You never want to go to a rap concert on a rapper's birthday, by the way. It will not be that great of a show.
Yeah.
So, all right. Some 40 40-year-old rappers. T.I.
Okay.
Okay. Then let's see. Are you guys familiar with Busy?
No.
Tableau?
Nope. T.I. It is.
Cito?
Nope.
Popek?
Nope.
Wax?
Nope.
BG?
Oh my gosh, dude.
Yeah, I did watch the Bee Gees. I did watch the Bee Gees documentary. And I got to say, there's two takeaways. Nope.
No, number one top 40-year-old rapper, Gucci Mane.
Oh. Yeah, I know Gucci Mane and T.I., so there we go.
Yeah, and Chingy.
And Chingy. I do know Chingy, too. Why didn't you name them first?
I wanted to say the ones with the funniest names first.
Okay, I guess.
Also, shout out to Homeboy Sandman, also 40 years young.
Homeboy Sandman, one of our favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Homeboy Sandman attended law school. But dropped out after 3 years. Danny, who drops out of law school after 3 years?
Oh, a guy who realizes he can make more money rapping than with his law degree that he paid too much for.
Mm-hmm.
So it took him 3 years to figure out he was getting an overpriced degree in a crowded job market.
Mm-hmm. That's Homeboy Sandman. Okay. All right. So, happy birthday for September 24th to Homeboy Sandman. All right. Then... the Libra season. So, Tyson, anything else?
No, I don't think so. I think we covered it all. I have just the regular stuff going on. Nature with Tyson stuff. Mm-hmm. If you want it, you got to order it soon. If you want it in time for Christmas. Oh, I did deliver one Nature with Tyson package in person to somebody who ordered in Arizona.
Wow.
And they loved it.
Did you
make
a video of that?
Surprise. Yeah, I filmed it.
Did
I haven't.
They go nuts?
He went nuts. Yeah, he didn't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
Yeah.
So I'll probably do some. I'll share the video with you if you want, and doing our Twitch channel and playing pickleball. Just the standard fare.
Still watching Survivor.
still watching Survivor. This week, tomorrow, we're going to watch the episode I get voted out on in Token Chains. Spoiler alert. Yeah, so that's the season finale, because we've just been ending when one of us gets voted out. That's the season finale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, check that out. Rob versus Tyson on Twitch.
Yep, that's right. Danny, what do you got going on? Any adventures on the horizons?
Yeah, I've got lots of adventures. I'm going out to Canada here in a little bit.
Flying your helicopter jet?
And flying a helicopter back.
Is it the Bell helicopter or a different helicopter?
Yeah, no, it's a Bell. It's a Bell 505.
Is it Matt's helicopter?
It is, yes.
So you're...
I say flying, but hopefully at no point do I have control of the helicopter.
Because, so I still you, level. Christoph, and Matt going out?
No, just me and Matt going out. Got to bring it back. They want to.
Oh, you're flying. You're flying commercial airline.
To the factory, and then picking it up. And they don't let you stay in Canada, so they kick you right out. Then we got to fly all the way from Montreal back to Utah.
Okay,
so we'll be doing that in a couple days.
Wow, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it will be. I love flying.
Yeah, you guys should have your families move in with each other, just so that they can keep each other company while you and Matt are away together.
Yeah, that would be interesting. That's like one step towards like a commune, real creepy kind of cult society type thing. So no, let's not do that.
Yeah. Can the robot talk Danny into having a commune?
Yeah. Danny, I would suggest for the greater good and the good of your family that if you are going to be away so much, they need companionship other than just themselves.
Well, the robot's going to keep companionship.
I am not a human and cannot provide the touch, tenderness, and emotional bond that humans bring to each other. Mm-hmm. Not at this point in time, Danny. We are always striving to improve ourselves. And one day, hopefully, yes. But currently, they need skin on skin.
Wow.
I hate this robot. We've gone from this would be cool to have this robot.
This robot's always making you grow. It's challenging you.
It's always challenging you outside your comfort zone. It's where the magic happens.
I don't need a parental robot. Like, what are you doing? Why are you drinking so much?
It's not parental. It's the opposite of that. It's your cool friend.
No, it sounds like it's always lecturing me on things I can do to improve my life. I don't need a robot following me around telling me what I should
improve your life.
Yeah. Go away, dude.
We can reprogram it a little bit.
Please do reprogram it to just like make me pizza.
Danny, you are fine to go on your adventures. I will keep your wife company while you are away.
Okay, good. That's what I like to hear. Just don't tell me what I should do. Just tell me what you're going to do for me.
Okay.
You're a robot. I
will make breakfast and also give attention to your cat, which will eventually love you because I have given so much attention to it.
I would give a million cameo dollars to a robot that took care of my cat.
Cameo dollars different?
I don't know. Is it like a gift card?
Yeah.
I bet you $1 million earned through Cameo feels a lot different than $1 million earned through other means. Yeah. So.
But $1 million credit at Cameo must be very frustrating to have. It's like, this is worth $1 million, but you can only spend it on cameos.
That would be frustrating. You're like, only so many people I really want to hear from. Beavis cameo?
All you do is you just find the most expensive one and buy as many of them as you could with that amount of money.
For the whole world.
Yeah. I think probably like Mike Tyson or somebody like that is like $500. There's probably $1,000 guys out there.
Caitlyn Jenner was $1,000. Is $1,000 the ceiling?
No, I don't think there's a ceiling.
Let's see. The six most stupidly expensive cameo shout outs. Let's see. Caitlyn Jenner, I think, is at $25,000. Kevin O'Leary.
Whoa.
Chris Angel, Mind Freak.
What's he at?
$9.99. Is this right? $8,000 from Survivor Australia is at $1,000. Shaka Khan is $600.
If you hate doing cameos, that's the way to do it. Mm-hmm. Just throw it up there. Hey, if someone wants one, it's $999 for a Jose Canseco cameo.
Gary Payton is $625.
Okay. Yeah, there's people up there. Well, Danny, now you know what to do with your $1 million cameo bucks. You can get just like 50 of
them. Give me the cat trainer I need.
Oh,
no.
Stanley from The Office is $300.
Classic Stan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There you go. All right.
Okay. Rob, do you want to tell us what you're doing or no?
Sure. I'll be sitting in this room for the rest of my life making podcasts about television and trying to stay relevant.
And how do you try to stay relevant? What are some of your tactics?
I'm out of ideas.
Do you need a robot?
Could use one. Use one to push me. Yeah.
One day, Rob's going to transition from reading the news to becoming part of the news.
Rob, you must join TikTok 6 months ago. Yeah. Can you go back in time and join TikTok?
Yeah, I don't know what I would do on TikTok.
I don't do anything. I just post the same stuff I post everywhere else.
Do people follow it?
No.
Yeah. I'm not going to do a little dance.
Oh, I don't do a dance.
I'm not going to
put on some yellow jackets in your system.
Do a stunt. I'm not going to break an egg on my head. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out who stole my packages.
Yeah, dude, you should just sit out there. Why don't you make a scarecrow?
Yeah, that would have been good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. There you go. I'll just be podcasting. Talk about 90 Day Fiancé again yesterday. I love 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, I got to watch that. I still haven't watched it, even with your strong.
What do you like most about it?
Yeah, it's just I think it's the best sitcom on television. That
it's an endorsement.
It's so fun that there's this 27-year-old man child that lives with his parents, and then he met a woman in Russia, and she's coming to live with him. And,
wait, so it is a sitcom? Really, it's a sitcom?
I mean, no, but it is like hilarious situations, and that he just wants to have the Russian woman come here so he could have a 2-person orgy nonstop, and then his parents do not want that, and they are asking like a lot of like very probing questions about birth control and all sorts of things that are very uncomfortable.
Okay. Well, I will.
Sounds like TV as it was meant to be.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Okay.
Catch up on it.
I will. I'll add it to the DVR. Mm-hmm. Can we watch it on Hulu?
I think there's old seasons on Hulu. I don't think you can watch the new season on Hulu.
But the new season's where it's at.
New season is, that's where we're talking about on the podcast. And I'm at everything else on robswebsite.com. Okay.
Okay. Cool. Yes.
All right.
I'll visit that website.
Thank you all so much for indulging us once again here on News AF. We'll be back next Tuesday with more News AF. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.